Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and greetings to you, my listening audience all around the world. You've tuned into the Manna of Reality. We're on a new swing, on a new height today, because we're into part two about aliens and do they really exist. We're going to present the stature of the secular setting of what people are saying about what their encounters were with alien beings. Then we're going to go to the biblical perspective about what alien beings are based upon scriptural evidence. Now, what I want you to do on this wonderful, you got it, guys, this wonderful afternoon, we're into July 1st of 2021, and we're going into this with a big bang. We're going to pull an actual degree of audio footage from a woman who says that she saw one-on-one an actual aircraft and an actual being encompassed within that aircraft. So let's go to her story right now.
And it moves forward, and it stops between the crepe myrtle tree out here and the wood line, and then it pulls forward on this side right between there. And all of a sudden, there is an alien appearing in front of the crepe myrtle tree. He had a human body, but he had a creature's head. Now, I didn't tell anybody about E.T. Nobody even that lived in my home. And I noticed that there was a sighting of a UFO from Conway. And I thought, that's out. That's when I connected with MUFON because they actually had covered that story. And I went ahead and finally told my story. Through the Mutual UFO Network, we systematically investigate reports of UFO sightings, of UFO landings. There are all kinds of people within the community from every point in the spectrum. People who believe that aliens can be human.
So besides what Jeff is going to show you here today, if you're really interested,
there is a presentation of visual evidence. You can pull the same report up. It's called Alien in My Backyard. The UFO community still believes, and science is starting to listen. Not only science, but the government as well.
Has fluctuated between as little as 105 sightings in 2007 to as many as 588
in 2015. That sudden spike in occurrences was making the authorities nervous. They didn't know what was going on. They couldn't explain it. And they hated the fact that everybody knew about it. But they were trying, there were still the days when they were trying to keep the lid on all this stuff.
So there is a degree of skepticism within the community. And they do try to study these reports and try to find some explanation.
Most of the time, you can follow these, three or 4 days. You go through the weather, you go through media reports, you go through air traffic. Now, if it's around Orlando, that makes it difficult because Orlando is like this pile up of planes most of the time. I had a lady that was really upset that this UFO kept going over her house every once in a while. It was the International Space Station.
Here on the Space Coast, a lot of them are former scientists, former employees with NASA, Lockheed Martin. A lot of them worked on projects, and they'll think of these things and sort of debunk some of the long-standing UFO claims. The investigation of this kind of experience has to be done more as a court case. I was 13 years old when my aunt Betty Hill phoned my childhood home, and she was telling my mother about a UFO that she and my uncle had observed in the White Mountains the previous evening. I saw the evidence. I saw the impact that this had had on my uncle. He had all of the symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. This is sketch that Marty drew of what he observed, and he drew this on September 20th, 1961. Betty and Marty had the first case scientifically United States. Starting in the late 1960s, other people started coming forward who were having the same conflict.
You can pull this same circle up. Relevant.
He was able to detect the threat of some creature who we will piece together the ascension teachings and disclosure of extraterrestrial beings by the ascension. We will go beyond with you.
Just want to give you a brief introduction, and the reason for doing that is because this article published by the Orlando Sentinel, over 10,000 viewers tuned in to this information, and it came up with the analogy that long past its peak during the Cold War era, the UFO believer community lives on and meets in rooms across the United States and across the Space Coast, and it recently started to pick up unlikely allies. Guess who these allies are? The research scientists, and the scientists are sharing information with the government, and now the government is on board with investigating us. Actually, an actual task force, a team has been assembled in the capital of our government to investigate various UFO sightings. There has been precedent in times past. We've stated not only were there a sighting, there were also confrontations in which defense had to be utilized as a weapon, as a way of countermeasuring the invasion. And let me tell you something, whether you believe it or not, it does not make the statement true or untrue. But we're going to tap into the origin. I just wanted to give you a little extra meat on the bone before we got into the biblical aspect of what is going on about whether or not aliens truly exist. Now, as we're going through the scripture, we're going to begin with the very origin of all of these things. And I know many people have believed and actually stated with me in conversation that these frequencies of occurrences and events didn't really become present and prevalent until actually 1945. How many of you remember the conclusion of World War II, in which two atomic bombs were dropped over Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, which brought a quick end to the war? That's right. It brought a quick end to World War II, and these cities were located in Japan. If you understand the pragmatics, I mean, physicists, physiologists, you can understand the pragmatics of what happens when a nuclear bomb explodes. It affects and impacts the atmosphere, the ionosphere, and the stratosphere. There becomes a distinctive degree of chemical impact that decimates and destroys each layer of the atmosphere. And as a result, there was created what they call an extrasensorial black hole, not to mention the various testing procedures that occurred in proving grounds in Arizona, where they were testing the big boy and the little boy. That's right, the testing of the atomic weaponry. That caused great disintegration within our environment, above the earth. And because we're looking at these occurrences happening above the earth and infiltrating into the earth's actual terrestrial domain, we have to start thinking, were the atomic testing and the weaponry that was used an actual catalyst that activated the appearances of UFOs and of alien beings from other extraterrestrial domains? That's a question, an open-ended question, but nevertheless, to build the very elementation of the proclivity of that statement, let's go to the Word of God. Everything that happens in this world, in society, amongst the kingdom of men, it can be related and reflected back to the scriptures. That's why it's so important to understand that the Word of God, the Book of Life, the Holy Bible, is the foundation of all things, both good, not good, great, and small. Let's go back to the very origin of all of these things. Let's go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Go with me. And you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Here we go. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Well, thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. Now that is the origin of the extraterrestrial compository of what we're seeing now. It all began even beyond the atomic bombs being dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, back in 1945. Here is the origin of the evil impended upon mankind and upon society when Lucifer was casted out of heaven by God. He knew that no longer would he have the capacity or the ability to ever enter into heaven again, and that his domain would be upon the earth until he be put in bondage and casted into the lake of fire. He knew that. So what happened? Well, along with Saint Lucifer, the son of the morning, one of the most beautiful angels that God created, when he was casted out, a third of the angels were casted out with him. That's right. A third of the angels were casted out with him. They too lost the privilege of dwelling in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of heaven. Their domain too was to tread and to trudge upon the earth. How many of you remember this of Job, the dweller in the land of Uz? And when God questioned Satan, he said, where have you been? He said, I've been walking the earth to and fro, seeking for whom I may devour. Okay? This is what he was doing. He was on his mission because he knew that his eternal fate was sealed. And what he needed to do is to make sure that he ascertained to the fact that others would receive the same sentence. He knew that the angels that fell also received the same sentence. They were fallen angels. Fallen angels then became translated to become demons. They became the official part of Satan's army. And remember, the scripture tells us in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So here we're understanding the concept of the extraterrestrial infiltration. These manifestations project as aliens, for Satan has transformed his ministers into angels of light so that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. So do you perceive that Satan and his compository, his confidants, would present themselves as hideous, ugly beings? No. They would have to present themselves as beautiful, enlightened beings, attractive, bringing gifts, showing kindness, a way of leading mankind astray and ensnaring him into an eternal fate. And we see right there in the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, we read from the 12th verse all the way to the 17th verse, the origin of all of these things. You need more scriptural evidence? Well, let's go to Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel saw the wheel, and we read the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel previously. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back into the book of Ezekiel. And this time we're going to go to chapter 2. You see how it all comes together? It makes sense now. What people have been saying and said that they saw something that they could not explain. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that have rebelled against me, and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, and do send thee unto them, I will. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Okay, so here God is saying, here, the reason why my people are being taken advantage of and they're straying away and getting into the false religious set of things and looking and worshiping deities, actually worshiping extraterrestrial beings and seeking after them and pouring about throughout the land with all of these false iconic measures because they're rebellious. They refused and refuted to accept my truth and to walk into my pathway of righteousness. And this is the end result of what has occurred with them. So you see, the beast projects himself, the liar, the falsifier of nations, along with his fallen angels, Malach, Chenos, Dagon, Belial, Beelzebub, and last but not least, Satan himself, the demon army, following along with Lucifer, Satan, going about to deceive the nations and to cause havoc, suffering, and misery amongst the population, while at the same time projecting themselves as a light being, as being harmless, as being substantial to bring peace, to bring comfort to mankind. And this is not what their drive is at all. And know this, Matthew's, the 12th chapter. Let's go to the 44th verse to really build this arsenal where we can see the whole picture of what's going on with this madness about alien invasions. These are demonic forces taking on the manifestation of super terrestrial beings with powers to help mankind, to supersede, projecting a false image of Christ. That's what they're attempting to do, counterfeit. And people are falling for this and perceiving that these beings have the intensity and the audacity to bring goodness. And it's just not so. This is not what they come for. This is not what their mission is. Their mission, along with Satan, is to kill, steal, and destroy, and to tear down the saints of the Most High God. That's what their mission is. Now, if you don't believe this, and we're talking about uncleanliness, let's read. Let's go to the 43rd verse. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, when that means that demonic force is exiled from a man, he walketh through dry places and seeketh rest and findeth none. Do you see why Satan is so miserable and his minions are so miserable? They can't have rest because they defy the rules of God. No man, no being, visible or invisible can stand against the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creation of all things, both great and small. And as a result of them counterfeiting and attempting to take a place that was not given to them, they were exiled, they were cast out. And when they decided that they would have to find habitation, that means an open mind and an open heart where they could dwell inside of a man and manifest themselves. And this is what happened. Jesus said, when the spirit is gone out of the man is clean, and the spirit having nowhere to go, he's got to find a place. There's no rest for them. And the 44th verse says, then he saith, I will return into my house from which I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. That means when you lift up the standard of the name of Jesus, even in coming in contact with something as this, no force in this universe can stand against the authority given in that name. For it's at the name of Jesus that every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. They enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, it shall be unto this wicked generation. That means this generation is falling victim to bowing down to these entities. And these are what they are. They're entities. They're all in cohesion and coercion together to deceive mankind, to cause mankind to stray away from the truth and to bow down to the beast. That's why they give homage to the beast, where Satan can gain momentum to recreate his own kingdom because he knows his time groweth short. And these things are growing. These presences are imposters. They posture themselves to be beings of light, of goodness, to help mankind, to project a new way of existence for mankind, to bring forth superior intelligence unto mankind. But no, it's another way of deterring and another way of holding bondage upon all they that fall victim to these false teachers. And this is what people are falling for. They're actually falling for it. They're actually believing it. And they're actually going and creating what they call churches. We're going to talk about that too. That's right. Here we look at, let's go to John, 1 John 4 and 1. We're going to talk about the very mission of these entities. They're projecting themselves to be aliens, extraterrestrial visitors, coming to earth to warn mankind, to befriend mankind, to help mankind. No, the mission of Satan has always been consistent and persistent to kill, steal, destroy, and tear down the saints of the Most High God. But thank God for Jesus. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. That's right. And as the authority of the name of Jesus, we have the capacity to overturn these presences. That's right. We have the capacity. Here we go. 1 John 4 and 1. Beloved, warning to you, so many Christians are also following in the way of believing in these extraterrestrials, calling them aliens. Friends of mankind, extraterrestrial visitors, allies. They're not allies. John 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, that means children of God, listen to this, take heed. Believe not every spirit. Don't believe this hype, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What better way to say that we come to bring you peace? We come to bring you healing. And here we are. Let us show you the way. Jesus said, no, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man come up unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only Messiah. There is no second Messiah. Don't get caught up in this madness, because it's a cover-up. It's a camouflage to the real agenda, to deceive, destroy, and hold mankind into eternal bondage. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. These entities are not going to acknowledge that, because God is who casted them out, who cast them upon the earth. They have no peace. They fear him. They fear him. They don't want to hear about the name of Jesus Christ, because they shudder, because they know that he is the embodiment of God amongst us. God became personal with us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, his only begotten Son. And every spirit that confesses it is come in the flesh is not of God. I mean, that confesseth not Jesus Christ in the flesh is not of God. My name is Timor. I come from this planet. I come to bring you greetings. I come to bring you glad tidings. That's not of God. And this is the spirit of an antichrist. Okay, you want to talk about antichrist? Antichrist is a spirit. First, it's a concept. It's a metaphoric statement. It's a belief system that translates into the physical realm of things by the behavior, by the character, by the attributes. Now, do you see how this all connects in together? Therefore, ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Okay, so this has already occurred. History has confirmed these circumstances, these cases. Now we're seeing the manifesto of these things occurring in society right today amid what's happening. Many even believe that the pandemic is a result of alien arbitration. But nevertheless, whether you believe it or not, there's one name that stands in the authority of all that is transpiring here and now, and that is the name of Jesus Christ, honor of God the Father, the Almighty. That's right, that has the authority over all of these things. So now we see the very origin of what's going on, creating a religious association. We want to communicate with them. We want to befriend them. These are the presences that are governing the universe. And many people have actually joined congregations that teach this malarkey, that believe these types of things, and they're falling for it, and so many individuals are becoming victimized into joining these associations because it's something that they can touch and it's something that they can have relevance to. And so many are so brainwashed and so messed up spiritually, they don't feel that there's enough power in the truth to sustain them, and so they're selling themselves over to this new faith philosophy. And they have a mythicated goal to call these establishments churches, honoring the fallen angels that have been translated into demons. Demons are the actual allies of Satan. Satan, the deceiver, destroyer of the world, the deceiver of mankind, enemy of God. And people are actually going into these areas. Some have even went as far as to say, you know what? There's various types of characteristics to these extraterrestrial beings, also known as aliens. We have the gray aliens, the ones that actually look like the classical long-faced, pointed ears type of creatures that possess intellectual capacity and knowledge, have been conducting experiments on human beings to find out what their physiology is, deception. And some even said that there are also aliens or beings called reptilians that that actually look like reptiles upwardly, but they have the bodies of human beings. These are the more aggressive forms of the alien invaders, is what they call them. They're more confrontational and more likely to become violent and aggressive to defend themselves. They actually want to plunder and take over. Some have even said that there's a species of aliens called Nordic. The Nordics look like regular people from Northern Europe or Scandinavians with the pale, discolored skin, the fair colored hair or blonde or flaxen colored hair, and blue eyes because they want to replicate and look like human beings, because they want to enlighten mankind and show them the pathway that leads to greatness in society. Vast deception. Then even so, some have even given proclivity to the fact that there are what they call the Ashtar Commandos, which are the very essence of those who are strategic and scientific exploration and discovery and can tie the links into the stars. That's right, into the stellar composites of the universe. That's right. And to bring the greatness of the vast knowledge of the universe to mankind. Vague deception. Then even the Antarctic aliens are considered as the ones to be more architectural in their capacity to be able to influence mankind into a higher level of echelon and existence as it relates to building and design. All of these are major deceptions that have been given based upon what Satan has done to transform his ministers into angels of light, that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But I say to you, thank God for Jesus, that he loves us so much. He equips us with knowledge. He protects us. He leads us, he guides us through the power of the Holy Spirit into all truth, and that God gives his angels, Lord God Almighty, the vigilance to watch over us and to protect us and to keep us in all of our ways. And as a result of this, we know what it is that's going on in society. And to really bring it to the next level of what's happening, there are actual organizations that call themselves churches. And I want to just share a few of these names with you so that you will understand, if you hear these names, see these associations, to abstain from them. As God's children, we have to take a stand as well as we withstand. For we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. And so we must maintain as well. Here are the listing of some of these establishments that project themselves as churches, as religious organizations, but they're teaching satanic influence about alienology, about space exploration, about all these things as a distraction to gain dominance in today's society. The Seekers, the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays, founded by Dr. Armstrong and Dorothy Martin back in 1953. The Acharya Society, founded by Gene King in 1955. The Frere Brotherhood, founded by Bill Meyer in 1975. The Ashtar Galactic Society, founded by Thelma B. Terrell in 1977. Then we have Shintao, founded by Heming Chen in 1995. We have the Cosmic Circle of Fellowship, founded in 1955 by William A. Ferguson. Then we have another organization. These people are calling themselves churches. So you got to be careful about who you fellowship with and what you're fellowshipping with. The Flatlooks Organization, founded by a woman by the name of Urella in 1989. Then who would forget Heaven's Gate? You know, that was the ones that committed the mass suicide back in the 90s. That's right, that wore the actual Nike gym shoes. Founded by Martin Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles back in the 1970s. It still exists on a smaller frame, but it exists. And look what happened to this. Mass suicide is what it was. The Industrial Church of the New World Conference, founded by Charles Boyne, Ginzel, and Pauline Sharp, created in 1962. The Nation of Islam, by Wallace Fard Muhammad, founded in 1930. New Message from God Church, Marshall Zan Summers, founded in 1992. And they're still in existence, people. The Scientology Institute. And all you know about Scientology, that's right. There's many famous individuals that you guys need a celebrity that you look up to. And the Lord God Almighty said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Stop looking up to these celebrities and these so-called stellar presentations in today's society. They're taking people straight to the back gate and down that crooked path, that broad and crooked path by L. Ron Hubbard. And everybody knows L. Ron Hubbard founded the Church of Scientology and also the Dianetics Program, the Power of Positive Productive Thinking, okay? That was founded in 1952 and it still exists in one of the most strongest and affluent organization there is that deals with alien technology and intervention and communication. It deals with all of those things. The Narnia Society, founded by Ernest and Ruth Norman in 1954. The Universe People by Ivo Benda, founded by Ivo Benda in 1997 and still in existence. Euritania Movement, founded by spiritual entities. Now, how strange is that? Somewhere in the origin it began in 1924, still exists to this day. The Church of the Subgenes, part of this alien new phase of thinking and doing, this powerful age of influence, information, and technology connecting us with these entities. This is gut-wrenching. Whoever knew that all of these churches existed, they know better than reflected the Church of Satan. Ivan Stang and Philo Drummond founded this organization in the 1970s. That's right. Falun Gong is also an offspring of this belief system, founded by Lee Hong. Lee Hong founded this church in 1992. And the Center for Release of Alpha Energy, founded by Hyde Fisk Goss in 1994. That's just a brief description of some of these congregations where people are actually believing this stuff. They're practicing these things. And you wonder why satanical influence is growing and going. They're connecting with these entities. The Church of the Nubarism, founded by Dwight York in the 1970s, is well in existence and still going strong. And even Realism, the Church of Realism, founded by Claude Vaughan in 1974. And this is what is happening. And we wonder why the society is so encased with wickedness. They've invited these evil entities in. It has become a constituent part of today's society. And the grasp is tightening. The conditions are worsening. What can we do as the children of God? We need to stand up for the truth. And when things of this occurrence happen, we need to be vigilant and to be direct spoken and to address these areas and stop running from them. The problem is we run from things. We're so caught up in the midst of trying to put on an image, to put on a showcase front and to become famous and well-liked. We've forgotten the essence of what our servitude requires. It requires diligence. It requires vigilance. It requires that we take a stand, even when we're misunderstood. God has us. He protects us. He keeps us. He leads us. He guides us. And we have to trust him as such. Let's go to the second book of Corinthians. And let's go to the 10th chapter. Here we go. Now let's go here. I'm going to start with the second verse. Apostle Paul is speaking. Apostle Paul perceived these things. Don't you know that the apostles and the holy prophets of God perceived that this stuff would go on in this century? There's nothing new under the sun. Listen. He says in the second verse in the 10th chapter, but I beseech you that I may not be, that I may be bold when I am present with the confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. I mean, some people are going to misunderstand and say, oh, she just don't believe in UFO technology, and she don't want to get with the times, and she don't believe that aliens are. No, it's just the fact that I know what these beings are. True children of God, try the Spirit, by the Spirit, they know that these are not representatives of God, the Almighty. They do not represent the kingdom of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we turn away from them. Here it is. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That means although we're walking and we live in the flesh, we're not at ease with what's going on in this world. The fourth verse says this. Underline this. 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, the fourth verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. That's right. Fifth verse, casting down imaginations. And these are imaginations. People are actually fantasizing and fanagalizing that all these are goodwill ambassadors. They come to enlighten mankind, make life better on them. No, they're gathering forth men fit for the army to fight on the side of the adversary, to secure their fate eternally, because theirs is secure. And it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing, that means alien religious practices, casting that down, every high thing exalted itself above or against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is right there. That's our weapon. When we see these things, we should start praying. This is why Apostle Paul recommended to us as believers, because we're in war. We don't have to have actual artillery in our hands. We're at the war of the mind. This is where the war, the Armageddon is beginning. It's in the mind. The mind is the spirit, the heart, and the soul. You see the connectivity? It's a battle of concepts, a battle of ideology, of practices, of moral / immoral devastation. This is where the battle is, and this is why he's telling us. To do this, everything must fall in line to the obedience of Christ. Does it reflect the kingdom of heaven? Does it reflect the kingdom of God? Is Jesus Christ as Lord being glorified? Is God the Father being exalted, if his name being recognized, if these things are not consistent and persistent in the practice, it is evil. Abstain from it. Remove yourself from it. Because if not, the consequences will be hideous upon you and all that will follow after you. And in that being said, we've had a wonderful segment. We're going to come back and provide other scriptural means so that you will know what to do to defend the faith and to defend the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Heavenly Father. And the more that we speak his word, the more that we love him and exalt him, the more blessed, the more satisfying our lives, our existence will be. But Jesus said he came to give us life and that more abundantly, and to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us, and to delight ourselves in him, and he would give us the desires of our heart. We have to walk the walk as we talk the talk. We've had a wonderful presentation this afternoon. Don't get sad, get glad, because we're coming back again this week, and we're just going to keep on building on this lateral so that we can understand what's going on in today's society, because we have to address what's natural first, and then we can address what is spiritual, because the spiritual concept develops and calls inclusion of everything that's spoken in the physical realm of things. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we're able to ask and even think. You got your host of the Most from Coast to Coast, Abby Phelps, saying in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Have a wonderful afternoon.